You're listening to The Outspoken Bible, a podcast from Bible 2020 with Fiona Stewart, Jen Robertson and Neil Glover.
Well, welcome to The Outspoken Bible. And over the next 5 days, we're going to be doing something a bit different. The Bible 2020 app has begun a new theme, God's Concern, looking at the book of Jonah. And we're going to be reading along with the passage day by day. So, join us every day for a new podcast or wait till the end of the theme and listen to them all in one go. These podcasts are part of a suite of resources available on the Scottish Bible Society website. You can find out more at scottish.bible/Jonah. So that's scottish.bible/Jonah. So here we are in the second reading of the book of Jonah. We're still in chapter one, picking the narrative back up at verse 11, which of course is the point where Jonah is in the storm and he's thrown off and ends up in the belly of this giant fish.
What really struck me rereading Jonah is the other characters in the story. And obviously it's called Jonah, and we talked in the last section, how what kind of character Jonah himself is. And I suppose going back to children's Bibles and how we often retell Bible stories is about these key characters, isn't it? Like David and Samuel and Jonah, and the focus is all on them. But actually, when you read the book and that little bit that we missed out on the app about the sailors come across as open-minded, interested, and they're interested in Jonah. They're in this terrible situation and they've got this guy sleeping in the bottom of their boat, and they want to know, what kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What's your country? Who are your people? Whereas Jonah is so kind of is self-obsessed and obsessed with the way he sees God and the way he sees his nation. He doesn't really want to engage with them at all. Mm-hmm. And so I've just for the first time ever really thought about these sailors, and is that the kind of people, kind of person I should be, we should be, you know, obviously interested, concerned about the people around about us, even in the midst of a crisis, even more so.
Yeah, and the challenge, I suppose, as well, is that the assumption I think we often make is that people are not interested in God, are not interested in spiritual matters. But, I mean, the situation we find ourselves in at the moment, lots of surveys and so on are coming out saying that people are, they're Googling the word prayer, they're looking at online services and so on. People are spiritually looking for answers. Of course they are, because we're all spiritual beings, aren't we?
Yeah, Jonah was running away. He was going away because he didn't want to go to Nineveh, and he didn't want to for God's grace to be known by these people. And he ends up in a ship with a very similar people who don't know God.
Mm.
And he has that opportunity when he's actually trying to avoid that situation God gives him. People, and they're the people in the story who end up worshipping God.
Do you think they don't know God? Because I think they do. They urge Jonah to use God, to talk to God. But I don't
know. They don't know. The God that Jonah has an image.
Yeah.
He thinks they don't know him, which is all like as Christians, isn't it? You're not like me, or you don't worship like me, or you don't talk like me. You know, you haven't got the ability to express yourself the way I do about my faith, so about your faith. So you, therefore, you can't know my God.
I mean, I suppose as you're speaking, I also have a question in my head about whether Jonah is really a prophet. So all I understand of people who, reading the Old Testament prophets, but people who would say that, you know, that they have a prophetic gifting, there's something that burns within you to say that. It doesn't feel like Jonah is a guy who's burning with this, you know, passion to share this word that God has given him. If anything, he's going the opposite way, isn't he?
It doesn't seem like he really cares.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Other people.
I think he...
God? Does he care about... Do you know what I mean by that? Do you understand what I'm asking? Is he so passionate about God that he's devoted? I don't think he is, because he's getting on a boat going the opposite way. And
I think he's worried about himself. Mm-hmm. I think he's we see him at his happiest when he's got a shade over his head on a hot day. And I think he's anxious that the world be a bit like the world that Jonah would like it to be.
Mm-hmm.
Not unlike some religious people, himself included at times. So I just wanted to wind back as well, this idea of more people worshipping or praying during the COVID crisis, and that's true. But the same survey also found, I think, that quite a lot of people had actually stopped praying as well. So I think there's something about crisis which inverts the normal order of things, which goes on here. And I wonder if some folks listening, and sometimes this is me, have actually found it harder to pray during the COVID crisis, and what's that been about as well. And certainly Jonas, he struggles here.
There's obviously very obvious parallels within these verses as well of the account of Jesus in the boat with the disciples. Is that deliberate?
I think this telling of the story in Mark's gospel is difficult to escape all the resonances that there are. So you have a bunch of people in a boat and there is a big storm, and there's an echo of the phrase in Mark's gospel for big storm, as gets used here for big storm. There is an account of the boat being threatened in Jonah. The boat's been threatened to be broken up in Mark's gospel. The boat is being threatened with being swamped. There is somebody asleep in the bottom of the boat who apparently doesn't seem to care. And somebody goes to that person to try and rouse them in both these stories and tries and gets them to do something about this storm. And both of these people do end up doing something which causes the storm to completely calm. Mm-hmm. In the case of Jonah, it's about being thrown overboard. In the case of Jesus, it's about him speaking to the storm and causing it to be overboard, causing it to be calmed. There's a sense in which Jesus becomes a new Jonah. Mm-hmm. And Jesus himself did this. He said that I will be like Jonah. I will go into the depths of the earth for 3 days, and 3 days later I will rise. In a sense, Jesus, as he does with so many of the Old Testament figures like Moses and Abraham and David, he takes them somehow into himself and then reimagines them in bolder, brighter, dare I say it, more positive ways. And I love the bit where Jesus talks to the disciples in Luke 24 on Easter Day, and he says, the Son of Man had to die and be raised from the dead in 3 days according to the scriptures. And you're thinking, what scriptures is Jesus talking about here? Mm. And other than a potential couple of verses in Hosea, Jesus has to be talking about Jonah here. So Jonah, the story of Jonah going into the belly of a fish and coming out 3 days later, for Jesus, is a story about the resurrection. Who knew?
Mm.
And more than that, it's not just, oh, here's a nice little pointer that's in the Old Testament. He said, I had to rise again after 3 days because Jonah came out of the fish after 3 days. It's almost like Jonah sets a framework for the very fabric of the universe and of the story of God.
So yeah, so that's really interesting, isn't it, to think about the parallels there and Jesus referring specifically to the sign of Jonah and so on. So Jesus is clearly wanting people to really think this through. So I suppose I'm coming back to what we talked about in when we looked at the first episode here. These are these big themes. This is not just a story of something that happened, but this is a story that invites us to wrestle with theological questions, doesn't it?
Yes, and I think the other stretch that Jesus pulls out of this story is he turns, and this is in Matthew's gospel, he says, no, people will be given the sign of Jonah. And the sign of Jonah in Matthew's gospel is he's been in the belly of whale for 3 nights. Luke's gospel, it's the Ninevites, Luke chapter 11, will stand and say to the people of Israel, along with the Queen of Sheba, we repented, we were outsiders and we heard the message of God and we repented, and you who are the insiders are being stubborn and refusing to turn. And for Jesus, this is a story about the surprise of God, that the people who you expect to get it don't get it, and the people who you've written off end up turning to the gospel.
Yeah. Which is writ large in this story, isn't it? What about the question of God's sovereignty in all of this? Is this the God we know, that he causes the storm, he causes catastrophe in order to teach something? Is that what we take from the story?
A very dangerous thinking, isn't it? And down through the centuries, that's been said about things, isn't it? That God sends terrible things because we're being judged or we need to change. So is it not just live in a world with terrible things?
And I think, well, certainly in Jonah, God appoints everything. I suppose that the wider question is, does God appoint every single thing outside of the book of Jonah? So God appoints, or God provides a storm in Jonah. Does God provide every storm? God appoints a plant. Does God cause every plant to grow in exactly the same way, or a worm, or a pestilence? And I suppose they're massive questions. I think there is something about God creating a wild world in which such things are allowed, and God has the power to prevent. I think sometimes when people talk about, you know, God sent this pestilence in order to somehow teach us, there's an idea of an angry God who's quite happy to see many thousands of casualties and deaths in order to make a bigger point about the gospel. And I think that one of the points of the book of Jonah is that God is actually dead against mass slaughter as a way of proving God's purposes.
Because he wants Jonah to go and make a difference.
Yeah.
And that, but that comes back to the praying thing that we were talking about, that how do we pray in this kind of crisis? Do we start praying? Do we stop praying?
Yeah. And what's interesting here is that Jonah is urged to pray and doesn't.
But when I pray in this situation, God, stop this, or God, heal someone, or God, help people find a cure, which isn't just specific for this situation. We pray that our whole lives, don't we? Mm-hmm. You know, there's always things that we're crying out to God. But if I thought God had caused these things to happen, then I wouldn't. That wouldn't be my response to God. By responding to God and saying, God, stop this, I believe he can and he could. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. My problem and the whole thing of being a person of faith is that you constantly live with this paradox that here's a loving God who I worship and follow, and yet these awful things are happening and I want him to change them.
Yes, and consistently through scripture we see this idea of God who brings good from the darkest of situations. So you see that in the story of Joseph, what you meant for evil, God turned to the good. You see that, you think about those verses in Romans about in all things God working for the good of those who love them and are called, that it's not that he makes it magically good, but he will draw out the gold, I suppose, from the hard situation.
Sometimes in the darkest of times, when people have said that to me, it's made me so angry.
Yes. Because it's a bit, it can sound placatory and twee, and that's not how it in context, that's not what it means.
Later, I might be able to reflect on that and say, I know how you taught me, God. I know how you changed me. But at the time, it's just the worst thing you want to hear. And... Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, although I think there's a danger. I think an atheist listening to a conversation in which one wasn't prepared to say, oh, God caused this disease, but God did heal the disease, would be saying, well, all you're doing at that point is you're giving God credit for all the good bits, and then you're somehow finding a fudge to let God off for all the bad bits.
Yeah.
For me, this is profound mystery. I think that some of the responses to this, not so much in the Jonah story, but some of the responses are around love, requires there also to be a sense of freedom within the world, because love can't be forced. I think something much stronger in Jonah is that the idea that the world is wild, and we'll come to this later on, necessarily untamed in order for it also to be beautiful, that both need to happen. But ultimately, I don't think you do get solid answers. I think what we do, though, is we set the mystery of suffering alongside the mystery of life. And it's not just that there's only one mystery in the world, which is the mystery of suffering. There's also a second mystery, which is the very mystery of existence. And somehow that mystery is so large and all-encompassing that we recognise that it's almost so big, it's bigger than even the questions which might undermine it.
Mm. I constantly live with that presence of suffering. It's not just suddenly when it touches us that we have to ask that, because we live in a world that suffers constantly. Sometimes folks say to me, I know I can't pray anymore, I can't believe anymore because this happened to me. Mm-hmm. You know, but it doesn't take much to look around and see it all the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So why did you change when it happened to you? Were you so inured to another person's suffering that you weren't moved when it happened to them? I think the answer is probably yes. I mean, I know for a fact I've been far more moved by the suffering that I have experienced, or people in my close immediate family have experienced, far more, I hate to say it, than witnessing suffering. That's one of the parts of the human condition, that we are less moved by people who are strangers to us. Although one of the things, of course, in the book of Jonah is that God it challenges Jonah to move across that divide and to begin to empathize with this city which he hates.
Mm. And to see beyond the plant, which we'll come to later.
Yes.
And that's probably a good point just to round this part up, because I think we'll pick some of this up in our next conversation. Thank you so much for listening to The Outspoken Bible. Don't forget you can find more resources on the Bible 2020 theme of God's concern at our website scottish.bible/Jonah.